Thank you, Dan. Well, we've got a half page of notes because my sermon was given last week in the morning and in the evening. I had this scripture that was been going through my mind a lot, and it's the one that talks about the exercise of the word in Alma. And Steve pretty much closed with that. And then this morning, I was about 2 or 3 hours into studying off and on like I do on Sunday mornings, especially when I have to preach. And I just thought, well, I wonder what Brian had to say last Sunday. So I pulled him up and I was watching him and walked over and looked at my notes. And I said, we're not changing them now. So I'm going to start with a scripture that he used. I'm going to come at it maybe in a little bit different way, but faith must be a topic that the Lord wants us to focus on. Because I had this sermon going in my head before I heard Brian and Steve last week. I thought, well, I've got time, I can change it. But then I thought, nope. I've heard many times before that it must be something that we need to hear if it keeps coming up with ministers and the preachers. So when I looked down at my notes, it was Matthew 9, verse 27. And I thought it was a good way to open up because my sermon up the top of my paper says, believe, faith, and hope. As Brian said, they had these blind men. Matthew 9, that's where I'm at, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. I thought it was a good way to start out, because Jesus asked him right up front, Do you believe that I can do this? I mean, if you don't believe that I can do it, why are you here? And they said, yeah, we believe. Because of what they had heard that Jesus had been doing, healing people. So they knew that if he was healing these other people, why couldn't he heal them? So the question was asked, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Well, sure, Lord, we believe that you're able to do it. At least they had a desire to believe, if not a greater faith, to believe that, yeah, Jesus can do this. And he did. Because they had a faith. Not only just a faith, but they believed that he could do it. You know, I had my faith tested 5 years ago today. Can anybody tell me where they were at 5 years ago today? Randy probably can. He was watching it go around his house. A tornado came through Oak Grove. I was out in the garage. And I was kind of listening to the news and stuff, and the weatherman said, there's a tornado going through Oak Grove about 2 miles south of the interstate. And it's like, oh, great, that's where I live. Lana came out, and in her hectic voice, I knew it was important, so we grabbed the dogs, went to the basement, power went out. I hear all this debris hitting the house, and I'm thinking, there goes the house. But you know what I remember about after it was all over with? I didn't get scared. I didn't get scared. And I thought, well, that's strange. I've never been this close to a tornado. I've never had it sound like my house is going. and I was calm. The only thing that I thought was, is, well, how am I going to get out of the basement? We got one way out, right up through the center of the house. And I thought, well, should have brought the chainsaw. But I didn't. But I'm thinking back, and I'm thinking, the only thing I can think of that why I was that calm was because of my faith. I didn't think I was going to pass away. I didn't think I was going to die in a tornado for sure. I believed that I wasn't. You know, the house at that time didn't mean much to me. And so after we watched it go past our neighborhood on the radar on our phones and finished answering all the phone calls that were coming in from people that knew where I lived at, I went outside. Debris all over the place. We've got insulation in the trees, 2x4s that are busted up in the front yard, roof vents laying in the front yard. House is plastered with leaves. I get the flashlight out and I look on the roof. I've got all my shingles on the front. Everything is in place in the front. The truck's plastered with leaves, but the windows aren't broke out. So I go to the backyard. You want to know what we lost? One bird feeder. And that tornado went a block and a half from my house. About a block from the house, it looked like somebody had taken a trampoline, put it on their giant hand, and slammed it into the side of the house so hard that when the legs went in, they bent. So you couldn't pull the trampoline back out of the house. Walked down to the main drag, and it was devastation. But I got to thinking, have I been taught that well and learned that much through the scriptures that I've got a better faith than what I thought I had, because I thought I'd be scared to death. I wasn't. I was calm. I didn't think Lana was calm. So that has to do with faith. Anyway, that's where I was at 5 years ago. I can tell you where the spot I was standing in. But so even if you have an inkling of a desire to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, let that work in you, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. Hebrews 11, just to refresh our memories. Hebrews 11, I'll start at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which appear. The substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. The substance, a confidence. A confidence of the hope that we have. The confidence of the hope that we have that Jesus is the Son of God. That heaven is there. And that if we do the things that we're told to do, baptize and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the true Son of God, that someday we'll have that hope of being in heaven and living there. Because the evidences are there. The whole world was made by God. From what? His word. He spoke it and it was. Substance and evidence. That's faith. Ether, the fifth chapter. I'm going to use page 745, like I said, Ether 5. Verses 1 through 10. Explains it a little bit better for me anyway. And it came to pass that the days of Ether were in the days of Coriantumr. Coriantumr was king over all the land, and Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from morning even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God and to repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whosoever believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure, steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. In the world we live in today, I'm hoping for a better. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe because they saw them not. That's what faith is believing in something that you can't see. I believe in Jesus Christ. As far as I know, I've never seen him. This is one that gets used a lot. I believe that there's a Grand Canyon. I've never seen it. Never even been close to it. Never even flown over it. I'm not 100% sure it's even there. Except for faith, because I've seen pictures of it. People have come back and testified that it's there. And so I have a faith that there is a Grand Canyon, even though I haven't seen it. I believe it's there. Someday we'll make it, God willing. Verse 6, and now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. I hope to make it to heaven someday. I haven't seen it either, but I hope to. The scriptures talk about it, and I have faith that they're true because of the testimonies of the prophets that I read in the scriptures, and also your testimonies that I hear in testimony services and just talking with you. It strengthens my faith to know how God's working in somebody's life. So yeah, I believe that there's a heaven. I'll be right honest with you. If I didn't believe there was a heaven, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I really wouldn't. I'd be out doing something else. But I've got a faith that it's there. And I've got a faith that if I have, you know, that if I follow after the commandments that are in the scriptures, that I'll be there someday. Verse 7, wherefore, dispute not because you see not, for you receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers. After that he had risen from the dead. And he showed himself not unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, and he showed himself not unto the world. But because of the faith of men, he showeth himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way whereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if you will but have faith. Moroni 7. Brian used this one. I'm not going to read exactly the same stuff he did, but most of it. Page 767 in the Book of Mormon, Moroni 7. I'll start at verse 37. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day, that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear unto the men and minister unto men. Let me read that again. And it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief. And all is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also? And awful is the state of man, for they as though there has been no redemption made. Brian was talking about miracles, and it is a true miracle. Because if there hadn't been a redemption made, if you don't believe that Adam and Eve actually walked this earth, and that they fell because they went away from the commandment of God and said, don't eat of that tree, and that we were fallen mankind because of that, and what an awful state we'd be in if we didn't believe that Jesus Christ came to buy us back from that fall, to redeem us from that. How do we know it happened? Because the scriptures tell us it happened. And we have testimonies that let us know that Christ rose from the dead. He appeared unto the 12, as it is written. So he did buy us back. So we do have a hope because of that faith. 44, but behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of the church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall... Man, I'm not reading very good tonight. I apologize. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto eternal life. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. And the promise was there that if we did things in the right way, we would be resurrected with him. Faith in him according to the promise. The promises in the scriptures are there and they're true. And we believe him because of faith. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. And without faith, there cannot be hope. If I didn't believe or have a faith that all this stuff is real, that it's not just fables and old wives' sayings and stuff, if I believed that, I wouldn't have a hope. But I do have faith that it's true. I do have faith that I'll be raised from the dead. I do have faith that there's a heaven, and I got faith that I'm going to make it. Unless something drastic happens, and I don't foresee that, because my faith should be strong enough to stay in the Word and endure to the end. I mean, if you don't even have a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you wouldn't have any faith in it. And if you didn't believe it or have any faith in it, you wouldn't have a hope. The eighth chapter of Luke. I'm losing my voice. Luke 8, this has to do with sowing good seed. Oh, why not? I'll start at verse 4. I was going to cut it down. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him, out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? What are you trying to tell us here? It's kind of what I get out of it. Even though they had been with Christ for quite a while here, after he said all that, what are you trying to tell us, Lord? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They didn't even have a chance to believe. I don't know if they had a desire to believe or not, but the devil came and said, sorry, you can't have that. Because if you believe it, you'll be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. We've seen that here. We've seen people come and we've seen people go. We've seen people that started out being rock solid in the faith, and for whatever reasons, when the storms came and life got hard and stuff, they faded back to the way they were. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. They believed it. They believed it enough that it became a faith. And they believed it enough that they stayed in it, and they brought forth fruit. Be good ground. Let that seed, when it falls into your heart, be good ground, be fertile ground. Nourish it by reading the word, by meeting together with brothers and sisters, by listening to testimonies and giving testimonies and remembering the things that God has shown you that strengthen your faith. To where it might not even be faith with you anymore. It might be a knowledge, because you know. I worry sometimes about myself, because I feel like I've got a knowledge that Jesus Christ is the way, instead of just a faith. Because when I was being taught the scriptures on baptism and other things, when we were meeting with Alvin Harris and Glenn Gill every Friday night forever and today, I don't know how long it was, but it seemed like a long time. We got well past baptism. But I might be one of those that kind of had a stony heart to begin with, because it's like I kept having this prayer that I wanted to know that baptism was the way. I wanted to know that it just wasn't something you do to make you feel good. I wanted to know. So I kept asking, and it was several weeks, maybe even months, that I would pray that, Lord, show me the way, that show it to me. You know, I was asking for something that he didn't have to deliver on. Kind of worries me because I sound like, show me a sign and then I'll believe. We did. I was driving back from Alvin's house one night after studying, and I was driving down the main drag of the town that I live in, and I looked up in the sky and I was praying this prayer, and I saw doors. It wasn't a figment of my imagination. I saw doors in the sky, like maybe you'd see at a drive-in movie screen, but not quite. I don't know how to explain it. They were there. They were there. And I saw nothing else. But there was a calmness in my heart. You know, I didn't say, oh, look at that. I'm really freaking out because I'm having hallucinations. Nope. They were there. I have never hallucinated before in my life. And so I started looking and studying. What did he show me? I knew that he showed me what it was, but I wasn't real good at studying yet. But I ran across this verse when I was looking at doing a word search on doors. And in John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. So I knew the way in which I had to go. I don't just have a faith of that now. I felt like I had a knowledge. Well, what am I going to do with it now? What am I going to do with it now? Well, I'm going to follow through with it. So I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm also not the dumbest, or most ignorant, I should say. So I went and got baptized. And everything that Scripture says about baptism came through. I felt like I was washed cleaner than my soul had ever been. When I was cleansed with fire and given the Holy Ghost, I felt it. So those promises, they were true. Because I had a faith that they were true. I believed that they were true because of the studying that we had been doing and also what I had seen. Alma 16. Quite a bit of reading in this, but we'll get through it, and this will be, and I'll close with this towards the end of it. Alma 16th chapter, page 421. Alma's talking to a group of people that have been kicked out of their synagogues. They were looked down upon because they were poor. They didn't have wealthy things. And so for whatever reasons, because they were poor, the people of the synagogues they went to decided to oust them. So they were distraught. Alma 16, verse 127. I'm going to skip around a lot. Alma 16, verse 127. It says, and now when Alma heard this, he turned about his face immediately towards him, and he beheld with great joy. For behold, that their afflictions had truly humbled them, that they were in a preparation. That they were in preparation to hear the word. Because of their afflictions, they were ready to hear the word. Go down to verse 134, and it says, and now, because you are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. Sometimes we just don't search. We're circumstances in life sometimes compels us to do things. Back in that time period of my life and of my marriage, things weren't going the greatest in the world when I was studying with Alvin. probably a little bit before that and stuff, but I decided to start coming to church with my wife and kids. But the way I was living my life, I knew it wasn't right. I was compelled to understand the scriptures more. I was compelled by this Jesus Christ. I was compelled by baptism, and I was compelled by the things that they were teaching me and that I was learning in the scriptures, and it was good. Verse 138. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before he will believe. Yea, there are many which do say, if thou wilt show unto us a sign from heaven, then we'll know of a surety, then we will believe. Now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for if a man knoweth a thing, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. Everybody seems to want a sign. I suppose I wanted one. I got it. I'm glad I did. It strengthened my faith. It made it kind of a knowledge. Can't say it was a pure knowledge. But I knew it. Verse 141. And now how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not than he that only believeth or only hath cause to believe and falleth into transgression. Now of this thing ye must judge. The problem is I knew it and I knew what I had to do. Because if I knew that if I'd walked away now because of what I knew, it wouldn't be well for my soul. Behold, I say unto you that this is on the one hand, even it is on the other, and it shall be unto every man according to his work. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Wherefore, if you have faith, ye have hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And now behold, I say unto you, and I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on his name. Therefore he desireth in the first place that ye should believe even on his word. Believe on his word. Skip over to verse 149. This is where Brother Steve McGee was at. Verse 149, 16th chapter of Alma. Now, as I said concerning faith, that is not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. The words that he had, they weren't perfect. You know, it wasn't a perfect knowledge. Yea, ye cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection, any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if you'll awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Just a little desire, just a desire to believe. Is all that they're asking for in this experiment to begin with. Just a desire. Who doesn't have a desire to believe in Jesus Christ? I mean, I've known people that say, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. But I think deep down inside they have a desire. They just don't know how to go about it. Or they don't want to. Or they don't want to admit it. But just the desire. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it is a true seed and a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. Man, those words that I was learning and being taught about Jesus Christ and stuff, they made me feel good. They gave me a hope that my life could be a whole lot better than what it was. Because I had that desire to know. I didn't really have a lot of faith yet, but I had a desire. And it did begin to swell within me. And when you feel these swelling motions, you'll begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea. Nevertheless, it has not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then you must needs say that the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for you will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are ye sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth into its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good, but if it groweth not, behold, it is not good, therefore it's cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, you must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this because ye know, for ye know that the word hath swelled your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to enlighten, and your mind doth begin to expand. You know, I can remember having what I called bursts of knowledge when I was studying, when I was learning about baptism. It seems like I would get this burst of stuff that I could understand, and I was doing great, and it's like, all right, I'm really getting a hold of this, and then it quit. And it's like, what? Letting it sink in. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I needed to ponder on the things that I had this explosion of knowledge I thought on, so it would sink in and that I would understand it, and that it would help the ground that the seed was planted in. Therefore, the Lord could work and give me some other things to understand, precept upon precept. Okay, you understand this? Now let's move on to this. Think I'm at verse 162. Oh, then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light. And whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore, ye know that it is good. And now, behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. We know the seed was good. And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, you'll say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. Nourish it by the word of God, studying and reading, listening to sermons, talking with other people about how God's worked in their lives, testimonies. Look back upon the things and the testimonies that you have from time to time. Verse 165, and now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root, And when the heat and sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and you pluck it up and cast it out. Your faith is gone. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is because the fruit thereof was not desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and you will not nourish the tree, therefore you can not have the fruit thereof. Just because I come to church, which I don't a lot, like I should, doesn't make me a Christian. Because I'm in my garage a lot doesn't make me a car. It's the belief in Jesus Christ that makes me a Christian. I can come here and I can sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and have my mind elsewhere and not get anything out of it, and my ground is going to be barren, even though I'm coming to church every Sunday. But I'm not exercising my faith. I'm not nourishing the ground. I'm not giving that tree, that seed, the best chance it has to grow and sprout within me and help me along the way and to strengthen my faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 168, but it is because your ground is barren, and you will not nourish the tree, therefore you cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if you will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, you can neither pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up into everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is the most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And you shall feast upon this fruit, even until you are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. To begin with, all it asked was to just have an inkling of a desire to believe the words. Let it grow. Nourish it. Man, let it turn up to be a tree, a mighty oak tree. Or it could be a Osage orange tree. They're pretty solid. Hedge apples. But let it be strong and mighty, so when the winds come and the life beats down on you and stuff, you have that faith in Jesus Christ that you can say, it's well with my soul. Even if my house goes, I feel safe. And I felt safe. So work on strengthening your faith. Work on it day in and day out. Keep the faith in Jesus Christ, and it will be well with your soul.